Hello, welcome to another episode of Davey B's Hit Song Vault. My name is John David Birdall, and today we're going to be talking about singers of the fabulous 1950s, right, Dad?
Right, you are, Johnny.
Yes. Now, this was a time I was not around. Like, at all.
That's true.
You know, so, Dad, I'm going to be relying on you. You know, to tell me a whole bunch, and I think our listeners are going to be relying on you to fill them in, right, on kind of what was going on. Right, with these singers.
Yeah, music-wise.
Yeah, music-wise. Not everything. Oh, my gosh. You know, Dad, who was president?
I don't know.
And Dad, what were the innovations? And Dad? we're supposed to be talking about Perry Como and Eddie Fisher and Teresa Brewer and Eddie Arnold and Marty Robbins, right?
Right.
Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, and so many others. And also, you know, you had limited this episode, like the subject of this episode, to just individual singers
right.
of the 1950s and not groups, because we'd be talking for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so before we get into it, do allow me to say that Davey B's Hit Song Vault is a 30-minute comedic and encyclopedic conversation about the music of our lives with Davey B and his son, John David. During each episode of the podcast, these two hosts will discuss and will play excerpts of 10 audio tracks within a specific theme or within a specific subject for your listening pleasure and total edification. Together, Davey B and John David do have a combined 70 years of songwriting and song performance and recording and music production experience between them. And thank you very, very much to Flatland Guitar, Schmidt Music, Orange Records, Eckroth Music Fargo, Drummer's Journey, Eventide Senior Living Communities, Guitar Center, and Prairie Public. So, Dad, we're beginning with Perry Como.
That's a good one to start with.
Yep, I do think so. And Catch a Falling Star. So Perry Como had his own show, apparently.
Yes.
It was probably televised. It was black and white, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Perry Como probably performed.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Now, did people, other artists kind of join him?
Oh, yeah.
Would they perform together?
He would have different vocals.
Okay. Great. So, Catch a Falling Star. Why'd you pick this one, Dan?
Oh, I guess because it was one of his biggest hits.
Mm-hmm.
It was his last number one hit, in fact.
Whoa.
In the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. Reaching number one on Billboard's most played by disc jockey's chart.
Whoa, that's great.
Yeah, that was, I guess, a heading they had for songs back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first single to receive a Recording Industry Association of America Gold Record certification.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and you and I were talking about, wasn't it a hit in Canada?
Yes.
You know, and why do I bring that up? Because you were telling me about Canadian radio stations just before we started recording.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was like, so why is this radio station called CHUM?
Because it's a Canadian radio station.
See, and I didn't. So, yeah, other Canadian radio, I guess.
The C denotes a Canadian radio station.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah, big hit in Canada, right? Was it a big hit elsewhere?
Big hit in Canada, John. And yes, Australia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Down under.
Right.
That's nice.
It topped the Australian charts, in fact.
Hmm.
And it was just one of his, I thought, better songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the A side, right?
Right.
The B side was Magic Moments.
That's right.
Magic Moments. Mm-hmm. Shall we play the song?
Let's play the song.
Okay, so this is Perry Como with Catch a Falling Star.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you wanna hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
Okay, so next we're moving on to Eddie Fisher, right, Dan?
Yes, another good, I guess you could label him as a crooner type.
And we're talking about a hit, right, from him from 1954.
Oh, okay.
Called I Need You Now.
I'll buy that.
Okay. How much are you gonna pay me?
No, I'll tell you, Eddie Fisher. I have an Eddie Fisher story.
Okay.
To end all Eddie Fisher stories.
Okay.
My mom and dad and I were in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they took me along for the ride.
Oh, nice.
To say.
Nice. Okay. I suppose you were their son.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we were getting ready to come back to North Dakota, and we boarded the Union Pacific. We had a Pullman car that we were in, which is one that has bedrooms and parlor cars and
stuff
like that.
That's nice, especially at that time.
Yes.
Right? Weren't trains really, really nice at that time?
Oh, they were nice. Yeah. And all of a sudden, watch Elizabeth Taylor.
Whoa.
And Eddie Fisher. And 84 pieces of luggage.
Did you count them, each one?
No, she made the statement, John.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah, she said, do we have all of my luggage?
All 84
pieces?
Eddie.
And what it was, was this was the time that Eddie was breaking up with Debbie Reynolds, who he had been with,
right?
Yeah.
And they're the parents of Carrie Fisher.
Right.
People thought they were going to take a plane.
Yes.
To go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't Vegas pretty big in the 50s?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes, John.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already loaded and ready to go. And here's Eddie as the Union Pacific train is pulling out of the Los Angeles Railroad Station. And I'm walking down the aisle and I look in this compartment.
Yeah.
It's called.
Yeah.
And there's Eddie just looking out the window, looking so forlorn.
Oh.
And I got the idea. It was like, what have I got myself into?
What have I done?
Yeah.
You know, I think I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, heavens. Okay, shall we play the song?
Yes.
Okay, so this is Eddie Fisher with I Need You Now.
If I ever needed you, I need you now. I can't remember when I've ever been so blue. If I ever needed love, I need it now. I feel so all alone, I don't know.
And there you have it, Eddie Fisher, and I Need You Now.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. The 50s, gosh, the music from the 50s is just so great.
Oh, it was.
You know?
It was.
Yeah. Who's next?
Now, let's go and pick up on one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean favorite artist, John.
Yep. It's no surprise that he's on this list.
Yes.
You know?
And that's Johnny Mathis.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about Johnny Mathis, Dad? You know, that really, I don't know, tickles your fancy or really just, you know, makes that top 10 for you.
Well, I think it had a lot to do with the fact that when you were going with somebody, like dating or...
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Yeah.
Is that it? Or something like that?
You'd put your Johnny Mathis album collection under your arm.
Yeah.
And bop on over to their, should we say, apartment or...
Residence, is that it?
Residence,
hey,
yes.
I'm going over to your place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Johnny Mathis was known as the kind of king of romantic music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the song we're going to be talking about is called Misty.
Johnny Mathis' signature song.
Mm-hmm. From 1959.
Yeah, written by Errol Garner, who was a pianist.
Okay. Yeah. Johnny Mathis definitely had his own style, right? His own delivery.
Yes.
You know, of lyrics and verses, right? A way he approached music. What was, to you, Dad, like, what was his way? What set him apart from other musicians to you? To me, like, he still has this smoothness.
Yes.
To him, you know, and this sentiment.
Tremendous amount of smoothness.
Yes. Yes.
And sentiment.
Yes. And sentiment, heart.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he's got so much heart.
Right.
You know, and sometimes he'll hold on some notes and just leave you. You know, kind of waiting, you know, for him to finish the idea, right? Or finish the line.
Right.
You know? Chances are,
'cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you.
You know, he goes away and comes back to you, you know?
Yes.
Oof.
And he had so many romantic hits like The Twelfth of Never.
Mm-hmm.
You ask how long I'll love you, I'll tell you true, until the 12th of never, I'll still be loving you.
You mentioned Chances Are.
Yeah, Chances Are. And we had brought up Sweet Thursday,
yes,
right, in another episode.
It was on a sweet Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday all had passed. Came the day I'd waited for at last. And you were there with love to spare.
Like, it's like,
yeah,
that's an example of what he does.
Yes.
You know, so well.
Uh-huh.
You know, he leaves you. Oh, when's he going to finish it? When's he going to finish it? You know? And then he does. So nice. Shall we play the song?
All right.
Okay. So this is Misty by Johnny Mathis.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand.
That is a great love song.
Mm-hmm. Great, great, great.
Yes.
You know, great writing, great performance.
Yes.
Yep. Misty. Right, by Johnny Mathis. Okay, so now we're moving on to a song called In the Middle of an Island.
Yes.
By Tony Bennett.
This song, In the Middle of an Island,
mm-hmm,
Tony Bennett was vehemently opposed to him recording it.
Like singing on the recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bennett had his worst falling out disagreement with Mitch Miller.
Well, yeah, didn't Mitch Miller like really want him, you know, to sing this song?
Yes.
And Tony Bennett didn't want to go anywhere near it.
Didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
No way.
Right.
And so I think they rehearsed it or something like that, and it was just half-hearted.
Yes.
Right? Tony Bennett's contribution was just half-hearted. And didn't Mitch Miller say, like, are you going to give me a bad recording?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yes.
You know? Just give me one, right?
Uh-huh.
Just give me one take all the way through.
Yes.
Yeah, Tony Bennett went on to say, to my great annoyance, it actually got into the top 10.
Yeah.
But I've never received one request for that song in all the years I've been performing since. That was the last time I sang something I couldn't stand. Right? I really couldn't stand.
That's beautiful, Tony.
Sure. So shall we listen to it?
Yes.
Okay, so this is Tony Bennett with In the Middle of an Island.
In the middle of an island, in the middle of the ocean, beneath the moonlight, just the monkeys and the palm trees. In the middle of an island, plenty time to do some kissing, plenty time for lots of loving. I'm walking barefoot in the sand, though there's no...
All right, that was Tony Bennett with the song he vehemently hated. Called In the Middle of an Island.
Yes.
Okay, so the next song we're supposed to be talking about is by Teresa Brewer. Recorded in 1949, released in 1950 with the Dixieland All-Stars. And it's called Music, Music, Music. Although most people probably just consider it the Nickelodeon song.
Yes.
Right? And this became Teresa Brewer's signature song, right? She was called Miss Music because of it. So yeah, what kind of drew you to this song? Why Teresa Brewer?
Oh, just because I guess she was such a little fireball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was on the morning radio show.
Oh.
In New York.
Yeah.
Hosted by, here's an interesting one, John.
Okay.
Hosted by Gene Rayburn.
Huh.
The Match Game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So she just had a certain amount of sparkle.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we play the song, Dan?
Yes. Let us play the song, John. A big hit for Teresa Brewer. Music, music, music.
Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is having you and music, music, music. sitting close to me. So put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music, music, music.
Oh gosh, okay, so now we're moving on to Doris Day.
Doris Day.
Yes, with the song K, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be.
Yes.
Yes.
The future is not ours to see.
No! Now, is that the correct translation?
Well, no, not exactly, John.
Yeah?
If it were taken correctly from the Spanish, I believe,
yeah,
it would be something like, lo que será, será.
Oh, okay.
And it's ungrammatical.
Oh,
in that language.
Sure, yeah.
So it was just one they came up with that happened to, you know, fit the song.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I do believe it was released in 1956, wasn't it?
Yeah, it became Doris Day's signature song.
Mm-hmm. Introduced in a Hitchcock film?
Yes.
Right, by her?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what was it, The Man Who Knew Too Much?
Yeah, Doris was a big band singer, you know.
Oh, okay. And then she became an actress?
Yep.
Is that it? Became a Hitchcock blonde? Isn't that what they were called?
That's it.
Okay, shall we play the song?
Let's play the song. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Doris Day, front and center. And K sera, sera.
I was just a little girl. I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que será, será. What will be, will be. When I grew up.
Okay, so we're supposed to be talking about Rosemary Clooney now.
We are?
Yes.
Oh.
According to you, Dad.
Oh.
Yeah, and so this song is called Come On to My House. Okay, and it's sung in a very particular way.
Yes.
Isn't
it? Very particular way.
Yes.
You could say that they decided they were going to sound like ethnic origin, French, Armenian.
Sure,
or,
Italian. I think that's how Rosemary Clooney sings it.
Yeah.
Right? With a false sort of Italian accent.
Right.
Which had gone on, didn't it, in like novelty songs? Wasn't
Definitely.
That the go-to sort of accent? Just sing it Italian? I'm thinking of like Dean Martin, right?
Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie. You know, didn't they just go to that sort of thing?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dad, what made Rosemary Clooney so impressive in the 1950s? Like, did she have a presence that other female artists didn't have, or a talent that they didn't have? Or was it just that she had so much personality, right? Like singing duets with some of the, like the heavies, right? The heavy hitters of the 50s, the male ones, like Frank Sinatra, like Bing Crosby, you know? She could just hold her own with them?
Yes.
Yeah?
It's that simple, John.
Oh, okay.
She could hold her own with anybody.
Ooh, okay. Okay, shall we play the song?
Let's play Come On to My House by Rosie Clooney.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on.
All right, that was Rosemary Clooney with Come On to My House. Okay, you didn't give me your address, but sure.
Oh, we'll just leave that line alone.
Oh, okay. So the next song is called Mona Lisa by Nat King Cole. Won an Academy Award.
Yes.
Right? For Best Original Song in 1950.
And that is doing something.
Uh-huh. Yep. And so, yeah, it's got Nat King Cole, right, singing and probably playing piano on it.
Yeah.
Right? At least what in the ads for it. You know, it's got him sitting there at the piano.
Right.
You know, smiling. It's got Mona Lisa, right?
Sure.
And then orchestration by Nelson Riddle.
Yep.
Right? And orchestral sort of music, right, provided by... Right, Les Baxter.
Right.
And his orchestra. Now, at this time, you know, Dan, in a previous episode, we talked about the transition, right, from big bands to rock bands. And would you say that most of these big bands became the backing bands for these pop singers in the 50s?
I would say that because they had the studio musicians right at hand, John.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go out and say, well, let's hire 15, 20 musicians and record this song.
Sure.
They had them on staff already.
Sure. And what were some of those orchestras? What were the names of some of those orchestras? Oh, I think you had been mentioning them to me.
Les Elgar.
Yeah.
Les Baxter.
Yeah.
Nelson Riddle.
Uh-huh.
Percy Faith.
Yeah.
Ray Conniff.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Miller. We had mentioned Mitch Miller.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was just oodles of them.
Oh, okay. All right, shall we play the song?
Let's play the song.
Okay, so this is Mona Lisa by Nat King Cole.
Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile?
And there you have it. Such a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Mona Lisa.
Yeah, so endearing.
Yes.
Isn't it?
By Nat King Cole.
And it makes a Renaissance painting seem so cool.
Yes, it does. It's just like it fits in.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next artist we're supposed to be talking about is Harry Belafonte. With his song, Deo, the banana boat song.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and the B-side was actually Starro. Yep, and so in 1956 it was released. This song, like, this song is an example of, I think we had talked about, like, Marty Robbins and Guy Mitchell,
yeah,
you know, both having a hit at the same time with the same song.
Yeah,
didn't that happen with this song?
Yes, it did.
Yeah,
the Terriers recorded it, an alternate version, shall we say,
sure,
that incorporated the chorus of another Jamaican.
Oh, call and response sort of song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hill and Gully.
Yeah.
Hill and Gully Rider.
Hill and Gully Rider.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hill and Gully Rider, Hill and Gully.
Hill and Gully Rider, Hill and Gully. Hill and Gully Rider, Hill and Gully. Hill and Gully Rider, Hill and Gully.
It was fun to sing, even though it had deep spiritual meaning.
Yeah, it is a fun song,
mm-hmm,
but it's an impactful song, too.
Yes.
Isn't that great? See, and that's what the 50s, you know, gave us. Impactful music.
Impactful music.
Fun and impactful music.
Right.
Okay, so this is Deo, the banana boat song by Harry Belafonte.
Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Just makes you feel like you're right there on that banana boat, John.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're right there with him, you know?
Yep.
Okay, so the next song on the list is Singing the Blues, all right?
Right.
By like three artists, because they all released it pretty much at the same time.
At the same time.
You know, we were just talking about that.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And so the one we're going to talk about the most, right, Dad, is Guy Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Marty Robbins also had a hit with it.
Very big hit.
And what was it, Tommy Steele?
Tommy Steele. Yeah. He was an English entertainer.
Yep.
If you heard the song, they all sounded alike.
Really? Oh, man. You know, so what a great song. I mean, golly, what an attractive song to artists, you know? And Guy Mitchell's version, didn't it spend 10 weeks? Like,
yes,
number one, 10 weeks?
10 weeks at number one.
Yes.
On the U.S. Billboard chart, the backing band for Singing the Blues on Columbia.
Yeah.
was none other than Ray Conniff.
Wow. Wow.
Now you can't get anything better than Ray Conniff.
No. It doesn't get any bigger. It doesn't get any better than Ray Conniff, does it?
That's for sure.
And his orchestra and singers as a backing band, right? That says a lot.
Mama, what a backing band.
Woo! You know? And so, yeah, all these songs were released in 1956.
Yes.
You know, pretty much around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's a good idea to mention, you know, country western, because all of these genres were kind of coming about, right? Rock and roll, pop, R&B, right? Around this time, country western, you know, they were all having their own charts.
All charts.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, gosh, again, you know, kudos to this song, or it ought to be applauded, right? This song that, right, an English pop musician, right, an American rock and roll musician,
right,
and an American country western musician all had hits with this song.
With this song at the same
time. At the same time. Oh, wow. Shall we play it?
I think we should just give it its due.
Okay. All right. So this is Singin' the Blues by Guy Mitchell, Marty Robbins, and Tommy Steele, respectively.
Singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, dear. Why'd you do me this way? Well, I never felt more like crying all night, 'cause everything's wrong and nothing ain't right without you. You got me singing the blues. The moon and stars no longer shine. Gone, I thought was mine. There's nothing left for me to do but cry over you.
So that was Guy Mitchell, Marty Robbins, and Tommy Steele, right? With Singing the Blues.
In that particular order.
Yes, in that particular order on this particular show at this particular time.
Thank you.
Yes, and so the last song, Dad, I do believe is fitting.
I think it's very fitting.
It sort of sounds like a goodbye, doesn't it?
Yes,
you know?
It does.
You know, this song by Eddie Arnold, which he recorded four times, right?
Right?
In 1944, I think, right? In 1949, 1955, and 1963.
Right.
And it's called The Cattle Call.
It's a country western song,
mm-hmm.
but with Hugo Winterhalter and his orchestra as the, shall we say, backing musicians.
Yeah, supporting musicians or something like that. Yeah.
It has class.
It really does.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, the 1955 version, right, by Eddie Arnold and, you know, the orchestra you had talked about.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And really, we ought to be celebrating these big band musicians, you know, who took those instincts, right? Those talents, those skills, you know, and brought them to all of these genres that we've talked about.
Right.
You know, like Jamaican folk songs, rock and roll songs, rockabilly songs, you know, Academy Award winning songs.
Right.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Shall we play the song?
Let us play the song.
Okay. So this is The Cattle Call by Eddie Arnold.
The cattle are prowling. The coyotes are howling. Way out where the dog is born. Where spurs are a-jingling, a cowboy is singing this lonesome cattle call.
Well, that was The Cattle Call, Dad. I'm going to be singing that song for the rest of the day.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yes. And if you have enjoyed this episode of this program, you can go to your favorite podcast platform or favorite podcast provider and search for Davey B's Hit Song Vault. And you can listen to more episodes of this show that way. Oh, there's the outro song, Dad. I do believe that means we're supposed to go.
We're supposed to go, John.
Yep. Just like the 1950s. Bye-bye, 50s.
Bye-bye
in the rearview mirror, huh?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
It's a cheater who pays. Well, it's a cheater who pays.